Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Learning by Ear. Our current series is called Everyone's Different, Respect for Minorities. And today we are taking you to visit the Pygmies in the east of the Democratic Republic of Congo. The Pygmies are an indigenous minority who live in small groups in the equatorial forest that spreads across several Central African countries. Generally, the Pygmies of this region of the DRC are very short and quite light-skinned. Traditionally, they live from hunting and gathering. But because parts of the forest are disappearing, they are losing their natural environment and are often no longer able to live in this traditional way. Consequently, many of them live on the outskirts of towns or villages where they are frequently the victims of discrimination. Pygmies are often regarded as primitive, and as a result of this stigmatization, very few people take any interest in their culture or their situation. But in Gite, a village in the province of North Kivu, a collective of non-governmental organizations has established a Pygmy camp. Their aim is to help the Pygmies integrate better into society.
Here in Ngite, in the Pygmy camp Kubetsi, a group of girls welcomes us with a song. The camp is 250 kilometers from the village, and it houses 55 Pygmies from 16 families. They receive assistance in the form of lodging provided by the church, in particular the community of Pentecostalists of Central Africa. The Kubetsi camp is a place which, in the past, provided shelter to the grandparents of the Pygmies living here today. Before us lie a banana plantation, a field of cassava, a vegetable garden, and a field of beans. The Pygmies in the camp also try to cultivate products consistent with their traditional food, such as yams and maros, because in order to survive, they've taken up agriculture, even though it doesn't correspond to their traditional life as hunter-gatherers, who are first and foremost people of the forest.
In this camp, we cultivate beans, rice, soya, groundnuts, and eggplants. We eat the fruits of our harvest. And when the harvest hasn't been good, we make do with gathering. And everyone works in the fields, women and men together.
It's hard for any people to abandon their traditions for good. So from time to time, the Pygmies of Kubetsi take up their bows, arrows, and spears and leave for the hunt, as they did in the past, in the surroundings of the National Park of Virunga. But this park is a nature reserve. People are not allowed in, and hunting, of course, is banned. So those who cross over the border into the park find themselves thrown out by the guards, who sometimes even threaten to kill them. Not all of the things the Pygmies need for their daily life can be found in the camp. So in order to buy them, the Pygmies work for other communities. But the Pygmies complain that they are frequently paid in monkey money, as Charlotte Suzanne explains. She often works in the fields belonging to the people who live in the surrounding area and who define themselves as Bantu.
When we do work for them, they don't pay as well, and we suffer as a result. We work for 2 days in a row, and at the end of it, they give us half a stem of bananas and a little portion of fufu. If only they could pay us even just $10.
In building the camp, the aim was to integrate the Pygmy people into other local Congolese communities, especially the Nandi and the Mbumba. But relations between Pygmies and non-Pygmies are not always good. In some areas, Pygmies are regarded by non-Pygmies as subhuman. This seems to be on the wane thanks to the teachings of the pastors of the church, which all the communities attend, as Charlotte Suzanne tells us.
Now they give us our food on good plates. But before they would give it to us on leaves, right next to the bin. They said they gave us our food there so they didn't have to put up with the smell of our bodies, which they said made them feel ill. But because we are praying together in church, we started to eat together.
In other spheres, the members of these different communities get along well. At school, for example, Pygmy and non-Pygmy children study and play together indiscriminately. Here they are in the middle of a football match, with Pygmy and non-Pygmy pupils playing together in mixed teams. The Mutube de Masulukwede Primary School was originally built for Pygmy children. Today it also takes children of other ethnicities. This school has more than 200 pupils, of whom 26 are Pygmy. The pygmy children study for free, whereas the non-pygmy children pay a small amount in school fees. The pygmy children are well integrated, but still there are some difficulties. Kavira Manimba is the teacher of one of the primary school classes.
They pay attention in class and don't disturb even the non-pygmy fellow pupils. During the dry season, they prefer to go hunting with their parents. At the end of this period, they come back to school and study normally again. They are intelligent, but this absenteeism creates problems for them.
The young pygmy pupil Matio Manga is pleased with all the things he learns in school. For him, the camp in the village is a good thing. We follow a good course of studies at school, and we are taught very well. It is desirable for pygmies to live in the same village as Bantus, and for us to work in our fields, which are in different parts of the village. But it's still necessary to combat discrimination against the pygmies, because despite the efforts of the organizations working to encourage integration, unfortunately instances of discrimination still sometimes occur at a social level. For example, where love is concerned. Non-pygmies may court pygmies, but the reverse is not possible. And it's shocking to hear that when a pygmy girl falls pregnant, the non-pygmy boy and his family often refuse to accept responsibility for the girl in question. So it's then up to the pygmy parents to look after her. This behavior is explained by the contempt with which non-pygmies regard the pygmies. There was recently a case of this kind in Gite village. A young man of the Nandi tribe got a young pygmy girl pregnant and then abandoned her. Her mother, Charlotte Suzanne, tells us what happened.
My daughter fell pregnant, and the boy who did it doesn't seem to want to acknowledge his responsibilities. She's my eldest daughter. We want this boy to marry her, but he's already run away. No one knows where to. The boy's father says he's prepared to have him arrested when he's found, to make him answer for what he has done.
Pygmy boys who feel integrated in Congolese society are willing to marry girls from other communities, but non-pygmy girls seldom accept them. What might the reason be for this rejection? Kazele Soeranda is the head of local operations with the assistance program for pygmies. He knows at least part of the answer.
When a pygmy man starts thinking about getting married, about courting a Bantu woman, she refuses him simply because very often the material side of things has a role to play. And as the pygmies are mostly poor, we think that if we combat the poverty of the pygmies, it will help them to recover their dignity and they'll assert themselves in the community. So this question of pygmy and non-pygmy won't matter anymore.
Zero discrimination. That's the slogan and the objective of the numerous organizations that work on behalf of the pygmies. But the fact that discrimination does still exist is something that gives pause for thought. What in real terms is being done by these NGOs? Kazile Soheranda of the Assistance Program for Pygmies explains his work to us.
In our working strategy, we take into account the aspects of the integration, promotion, and dignity of the native pygmy peoples. And in all our activities, we always encourage the pygmies to interact with the other communities. For example, where education is concerned, we don't want to create special schools for pygmies. We prefer to encourage the pygmies to attend the other schools so that they also assert themselves alongside the other communities.
For the young pygmy Matio Manga, pupil at the Mutube de Masulukwede Primary School, this collaboration and mutual respect between pygmies and non-pygmies is very important. To live better on this earth, we need to get on with one another. I think we should share constructive ideas for good cohabitation. In my opinion, this practice will put an end to discrimination.
And the young pygmy boy Matthew Manga's recommendation to all communities, pygmy and non-pygmy, for putting an end to discrimination also brings us to the end of our stay with the pygmies in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The reporter was John Kanyunyu, and this program was part of our series, Everyone's Different, Respect for Minorities. To find out more about the program Learning by Ear, or to listen again to this episode or to others in the series, please go to our website dw.de/LBE. Until next time, goodbye.